Hello friends, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on your hometown radio station up there in Cowboy Country, North Florida. Hallelujah. Amen. We're so glad to be with you right here on WMAF. If you're listening by computer, we welcome you today anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world. And if you have come to our website and downloaded this particular message, thank you for coming. Tell other people, if you will, about our website. Everything is free. There are no strings attached. We just want to get the good news of Jesus to as many people as we possibly can. All of this good gospel music you've been listening to has been conveying a central message and a crucial message, and that is that God has a plan to redeem fallen man from our own sins and folly and from Satan's dread sway. God has sent His only begotten Son, and His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He's paid the sin debt for us, friends, if we will just repent and receive Him as our Savior today. We've got a great message today, and we're bragging on God already. It falls right into place of our message, who has a God like our God. And we're going to talk about one particular peculiarity about our God. And amazingly, on the top shelf of things that make Him so unique and wonderful, it is not just His almighty power, His omniscient knowledge, but it's His tremendous grace, His capacity to forgive and forget our sins, and because of what Jesus did on the cross, to treat us as if we had never sinned. What a wonderful God we serve. We're going to talk about that out of Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. But before we do, we'd like to invite you to come to our website. Many people are coming from all over the world. We just received a word from the Lord when we began the radio ministry, actually, that I will bring them from the north, south, the east, and the west. And we thought maybe our church and our community would grow mightily. It hasn't, like the mega churches, or even we're a small group of believers with a big God and a big vision, and our church is a studio where these broadcasts are made, and we come together and enjoy the blessings of God and share the blessing with others. But He brought them on a larger scale than our community, our county, or our state. He brought them from all over the United States. He's bringing people from all over the world, from Africa to the Arctic, and they're coming to our website, downloading sermon material, recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus, and it's just been phenomenal to see all the states in America and all so many countries of the world where people are coming and listening to the Word of God. We're so honored, privileged, humbled, and excited at the same time by what the Lord is doing, and we're grateful to you for telling others about this broadcast and about our website. Just type in THCOG, Google it on any good search engine or any other good search engine, and it will take you to our homepage right here in Tampa, Florida, where I have been pastor for 37 and one half years. Praise God. Amen. So God is still on the move. Jesus is still on the throne. And the Word of God is still the best-selling book in all of the world for all time, because God's Word is not just dead letter. It is alive. It's quick and powerful, the Bible said. That means it's living, and it has the power to transform and change. Praise God. So get ready to be transformed and changed today. If you're not a Christian, please stay tuned. We want you to know something about this God that many times, quite frankly, is so terribly misrepresented by so many. This is a great God. This is a good God. This is a merciful God. He's a holy God. And therefore, we should understand that He is obligated to judge sin because of His holiness, His righteousness, but He's also a loving and merciful God, and He's made a way for sin to be judged and us to be exonerated so that we could be reconciled unto Him and not be an unjust God. Because He doesn't just look the other way or sweep our sin under the rug. He judges our sin in His Son, punishes His Son for our sins so that the law is satisfied. Amen. We pay our debt to Him. Hallelujah. And He can pronounce us free. Oh, friend, please stay tuned and hear about the love of God and His plan to save you today. Praise God. If you are saved, get on your shouting shoes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. If you're a lady, get out of those heels. You can't shout in those heels. Praise God. If you're a guy, you might want to kick off your tennis shoes too. Listen, Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee? Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. The NIV is very clear. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Praise God. God pardons iniquity. He forgives our sin. He forgets our sin. And He delights to do it. He delights to show this kind of mercy. Bible scholars, as we began last week, as we talk about this particular, peculiar aspect of His character, is that His great, magnanimous heart, His ability, and His desire to forgive and exonerate people who have sinned against Him, who have broken His holy law. And yet, in His heart of hearts, He wants to forgive us. He wants to reconcile us to Himself. He wants to restore us of what the enemy of our soul has taken from us. You know, the scripture said that the thief came, speaking of Satan, but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I have come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you more abundantly. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, scholars call this that God has done in Jesus Christ the great exchange. The great exchange. He takes our punishment. We receive His innocence. This is too good to be true if God Himself hadn't said it and had it preserved in His Word. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19 through 21. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. And the reasoning, listen, what He offers. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, friend, didn't I tell you to put on your shouting shoes? Listen, He treats Him as if He had committed our sins, though He knew no sin. He judges Him on the cross. He drinks the last dredges of judgment and suffering and pain, so that we could not just be forgiven our sin, but we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. See, the enemy of our soul is called the accuser of the brethren in the book of Revelation chapter 12. It says, now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them before God day and night. Satan literally means, or devil rather, diabolos in the Greek, it means a maligner, one who accuses another. And that's exactly what he's called in the book of Revelation. And there's no way we could defeat him by denying his accusations. You know, the devil is a liar, but there's one thing he doesn't have to lie about, and that is that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. All of us. There's not none righteous, the scripture said. No, not one. That means not you, not me, and not someone that you think so highly of. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks deeper. He looks in the heart, and he can't find one completely pure, sinless heart except the heart of his only begotten Son. But he offers his sinless Son to take the sin punishment so that we who've committed the sins might be treated as if we had not sinned, given God's own righteousness, something the enemy cannot possibly penetrate, is God's breastplate of righteousness, because it's not our breastplate, it's his own righteousness. Praise God. He gives us his righteousness. Ours would never meet the standard, but now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them before God day and night, and they overcame him by the word of their by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even to the death. After the blood of Jesus was shed on Calvary, Satan's system to defeat us and to hold us captive was broken. Listen, if you're a prisoner of sin and you're a prisoner of Satan's darkness in your heart, I want you to know you can go free today. This can be your liberation day. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. This is real freedom, friend. Freedom from the shame. Freedom from the guilt. Freedom from the judgment to come. Freedom from the fear of death. Don't get me wrong. If someone pointed a gun at me, I would try to dodge the bullet. I'm going to be frank with you today. But if the bullet beat me, I know where I'm going. I know what would happen in an instant. Absent from the body for a Christian is to be present with the Lord. I don't even have to await the rapture for that to take place. Amen. My spirit will go to my God immediately into his presence according to the scripture. Praise God. Amen. There's nothing like this, friend, in all the world, that God would give literally his only begotten Son, and that he would give us his Son's innocence while treating him with judgment for our sins so that we could be saved. There's no salvation like this. There's no Redeemer like him. There's no God like our God, particularly in this respect. Oh, yes, he's the true God. Yes, he's the living God. Yes, he has all power. But his capacity to forgive us, to forget our sin, to treat us as the innocent while judging the innocent as the guilty one. What kind of love is this? Hallelujah. Amen. It was a pop song years ago in my era, back in my day. What kind of love is this that makes me want to jump and shout? What kind of love is this that turns my whole life inside out? That's supposed to be because some guy met some gal and fell head over heels in love with her. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes I just want to grab some of the lyrics from some of those songs and say, Lord, that's more appropriate to you. I love my wife. We've been married 48 years. Praise God. And I still love my wife. But what he's done for me pulls a love out of me that is beyond any human love. This is love for the divine, because I have been loved by the divine to such a degree, to such an extent. What kind of love is this? And you say Christians get emotional. That church down there is too emotional, because we get excited about something this wonderful. Amen. I see people get excited over winning the lotto. I'm going to tell you something today. If you didn't get excited over several $1 million, even though it's going to pass and you're going to pass and everything you buy with it's going to pass, but still pretty exciting to think about going shopping with a $1 million budget or several million. People get excited and they should. Amen. The Bucks are hard pressed to win ball games these days, but when they do, I'm telling you, those Buck fans, they get excited about it. Praise God. And they should get excited. There's things worth getting excited over. Well, I'm going to tell you, what kind of love is this that makes me want to jump and shout? What kind of love is this that turns my whole life inside out? I got saved a long time ago, and I've never got over it. Some people look like they got saved and got over it. It's kind of like, I think it was Vance Havner said, he said some Christians have been inoculated with such a mild form of Christianity, it's made them immune to the real thing. But the real thing is exciting. The real thing is full of glory and grace. The Bible speaks of Jesus, the one who took our punishment, who suffered for our sin, for our sake and for our sin. And it says of him whom, having not seen, ye love with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Ah, friend, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most exciting message that mankind could ever receive in this entire universe. Hallelujah, that sinners like you and me can be forgiven, our sins forgotten. Not only did Jesus die and suffer for our sins, but God grants unto us His Son's innocence. I don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. No one on this planet deserves that. But God, with His magnanimous heart of grace and mercy, He grants that to you and me. And that's what Bible scholars have termed the great exchange. Let's read about it some more in Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Praise God. He became cursed, friend, so that we could be blessed. This is the great exchange. Our guilt for His innocence. Our sin for His righteousness. We can't stress too much today that Christ is God's answer. It's all owing to Jesus Christ. You can't love Jesus too much. You can't think about Him too much, or thank Him too much, or depend on Him too much. All of our justification, all of our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. Listen to a few other passages. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might receive the righteousness of God in Him. God's righteousness becomes our righteousness in Jesus Christ. Philippians 3, 8 and 9 declares, I count everything as rubbish, all as but dung, the King James said, that I may be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 said, it is from God that you are in Christ Jesus, who became unto us wisdom from God and righteousness. Friends, we've got to have righteousness to be acceptable to God. But we don't have it. There's none righteous, the Scripture said. No, not one. What we have is sin. So God has what we need and don't deserve. and that's righteousness. And we have what God hates and rejects, and that is sin. And there's only one answer, and that answer is Jesus Christ, the Son of God and our Savior, who died in our place. God lays our sins on Jesus and punishes them in Him. The Scripture said in Isaiah 53, "And God has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep, all we like sheep have gone astray. And God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." And in Christ's obedient death, God fulfills and vindicates His righteousness and imputes or credits it to us. Our sin is on Christ. His righteousness is on us. There's a transfer. And He who knew no sin was treated as if He had sin. He became sin in the sense that God judged our sin in Him, even though He never, ever sinned. But it doesn't stop there. He doesn't just forgive us. He transfers. He transfers or imputes Christ's righteousness to us. Hallelujah. The Bible said that Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him righteousness. In other words, God put righteousness to his account. If someone went down to my bank account today, somehow got the number of my bank account. If I wrote someone a check and they got the number of my account off the check and they wrote a check into my account for $10 million today. Amen. And I went back to the bank tomorrow and checked my balance to see if I had enough money to pay for something, and I had $10 million put to my account. I couldn't go out and tell people about how I was so shrewd in business, so innovative and had such ingenuity and such drive that I was able to earn and amass this wealth. No, I could take no credit for what was put into my bank account as a gift. I would have to try to find out who did it and give all the honor to them. And so it is with salvation. Not one Christian on their way to heaven can ever take credit. Oh, it doesn't mean that we're not created unto good works and that we don't serve God with everything we are and everything we have. And it doesn't mean that God isn't going to reward us for our service here. But our salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is and always will be and always has been the gift of God. God literally put righteousness to our account, and He imputed sin to His sinless Son's account. So Jesus is judged, and we are forgiven, reconciled, ransomed, redeemed, hallelujah, justified and sanctified. And don't ever separate God's righteousness and Christ's righteousness. Think of the relation this way. God's righteousness was revealed in the faithful obedience of Jesus, even unto death. Therefore, Christ's righteousness is God's righteousness revealed. And so to be in Christ is to be in God's righteousness. So what is the answer to why is the gospel the power of God unto salvation? And why does the gospel lift burdens and give joy and make strong? It's because the gospel is the good news that our sins, mine and yours, are laid on Jesus Christ, and His righteousness is laid on us. The great exchange takes place. The great imputation of our sin to Jesus and God's righteousness to us. Friend, didn't I tell you to put on your shouting shoes? I don't know where to shout or weep at some points. My heart is melted that God would love to this degree. My heart is melted that Jesus would go to the cross, would hang in agony, having the power to call the myriads of angels of heaven, warrior angels. Really, all you'd have to call is Michael. Hallelujah, the one mighty archangel of God, amen, to destroy this whole world. But he could have called millions, according to the scripture, there without number, to come and take him from the cross, to destroy this world, those that denied him and those that hated him and those that hung him on the tree. But he didn't. He didn't. He hung there. He hung there. He took the pain. He was treated as a sinful man on that cross, not as divine and sinless. He died the death of a sinner. Without God's comfort, he cried from the cross, "Father, Father, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." He cried, "Father, Father, my God, Eloi, Eloi, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He didn't die with the comfort of God's grace, the comfort of God's presence, the comfort of God's Spirit, or supernatural enablement. He died as a sinner, without God and without hope. Ah, but he rose from the dead, triumphant over death and hell. And he has the keys, praise God, amen. He holds the authority now. Glory to God. And the book of Isaiah said, "Therefore I will appoint him a portion with the great. I will exalt him. I will praise him." There's only one way to get rid of the guilt and the punishment for sin, and that is to come to Christ, to accept him. I don't know why the devil convinces us that some sin is worth not receiving something as wonderful, powerful as this. This gospel, this wonderful Savior, this offer of salvation. So much is on the line today. Eternal souls are on the line. When we draw our last breath, friend, it isn't over. It's just beginning. Everyone is going to live somewhere forever. And God wants you to live with him. Regardless of where you've been and what you've done and how dark your sins may be, God wants you to live with him forever. And sent his son to redeem you so you could. And Jesus said these great words you hear them most often at a funeral, but this is not just funeral stuff. This is the hope of every saved person, every Christian. He said, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Didn't I tell you God wants you to live with him forever in a place where there's no more pain, heartache, heartbreak, sin, shame, sickness, disease, no cancer, no losing of loved ones ever again. As Dottie Rambo put it, no wreaths of death on my mansion door. Praise God. You can have this today. You can know this Savior today. You can receive this gift of salvation if you repent of your sins and receive him. The great exchange is going to take place because we serve a God who loves you so very, very much. If you don't know Jesus today, God is reaching out his hand. I'm convinced right where you are right now, God is reaching out his hand to you. And he's saying, "Will you let me make this exchange? Will you let me take your sin? Will you let me give you Christ's righteousness? Will you repent? Will you come to me? Will you let me save you? Seal you with the Holy Spirit?" Hallelujah. And write your name on heaven's rolls. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Will you come right now? Pray it right where you are. And Christian, today, lift up your head. Lift up your heart. Get in a good Bible teaching church Sunday where they celebrate salvation. Hallelujah. Time is gone. We'll be back next week. Don't miss it. Let's talk. about Jesus.